Heterodorks. Heterodox dorks.
Hey, TERFs and trannies. We're out of sync.
We are. We'll catch up.
I can only hope. Yes, TERFs and trannies, it's been a really exciting week. And we have a backlog of podcasts. And I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll just put this in the head of the queue and bump out some of the other ones. Because boy, is this stuff, it's happening so fast.
It's burning.
The shit is flying so fast.
Like
yes.
A gasoline fire.
Like the apocalypse.
Right.
Yeah. One third of all the trees are burned. And that's just in the first part. Eventually they all get burned and the whole world vanishes.
How do we accelerate it? I'm looking forward to it.
I think we are accelerating it. So apparently the TERF Tranny Alliance is accelerating the apocalypse.
Well, let's explain what the TERF Tranny Alliance is, because some people might not be caught up.
Okay, so the TERF Tranny Alliance is an emblem and a very nice looking metal badge that says TERF Tranny Alliance, sex is real, people are weird. And it has a little icon of shaking hands, like friendship. So the idea is that some TERFs are friends with trannies and some trannies are friends with TERFs. And we're friends. And all TERFs don't have to be friends with trannies, and all trannies certainly don't want to be friends with TERFs, but some of us are friends. So we have the TERF Tranny Alliance. Boy, has that caused a shitstorm.
The plan for the TERF Tranny Alliance was for it to be developed, to have some growth of leadership and membership, for there to eventually be some backbiting, some backstabbing, some leadership struggles, accusations of theft, accusations of ideological impurity, maybe some cult mentality growing inside of it, conspiracy theories growing outside of it. How are we doing so far?
Well, the TERF Tranny Alliance, unfortunately, is small, tight, and healthy still. And that is actually because all that other stuff is happening amongst the TERFs and the trannies. So it's ironic that the more that happens among TERFs and trannies, the more stable and healthy and tight and, you know, happy we are about our friendships.
I think there's another piece of information that's helpful to develop some context on some of the drama that you and I are witnessing in our social media feeds in the last few days, Nina. And that is that at the end of February 2022, my good friend Grace and I were the guests of a couple of people who live in Ireland. And as part of our visit to Ireland, we scheduled a meetup at a pub in Dublin, and I reached out to people who I knew who lived in that part of the world and sent them some invites. Grace did the same thing, and one of our hosts also sent out a number of invitations, and the invitations indicated, at least the ones that I sent out, that Grace and I would be there, and Grace has a reputation in the detransition community, and I have one in the, I would say the transsexual community, but being that I am the only true transsexual, that I at least have a reputation as being a jerk. So these invitations went out. There was no sense of obfuscation or any sort of question about what the event was for. It was just to meet up in a pub, have drinks with people who are more or less around the fight for protecting kids from the gender industry. All right. So we took a picture with a number of us. About half of us who were there, still there, ended up in the photo. Among them were myself, Miranda fucking Yardley, and Mr. Debbie Hayton.
And Graham Linehan.
And Graham Linehan.
Don't forget Graham Linehan.
And coincidentally, just because at the time that somebody yelled, let's take a picture, let's take a picture, we crowded around from wherever we were. I was sort of on the outside of the room, so I'm on the outside of the picture. And Debbie was near the middle of the room and is so near the middle of the picture. And the person who took the photo, our friend of the podcast and fellow TERF Tranny Alliance conspirator, Levi Pei. He uploaded the photo to his Twitter, and then that photo started making the rounds in the social media exile spaces. So for people who have been removed from Twitter, either justly or unjustly, it's almost always because of unfair content enforcement policies on Twitter's behalf. A number of undesirable, you know, quote unquote undesirables who've been exiled from the Twitter platform have gotten together over on Getter. And they saw that photo and that started making the rounds over there. And one of the comments that was left on it is that people like me and people like Miranda and Debbie Hayton need to be ejected from the gender critical movement. I don't know if you knew that, Nina. Did I tell you about that?
No, but it's, you know, it's certainly fits with everything else I've seen.
Right. So my response to that was to quote retweet the photo. And I added on there, we are not part of your movement. We are the movement. And the we are the movement was referring to the photograph of 16 people who were crowded around giving each other support, giving each other camaraderie. And that caused some agitation. And that was about the same time that the advertisement for the Turf Tranny Alliance buttons went up.
I don't think of it as an advertisement. It's just a notification. News. The news. The good news.
I would call it recruitment material.
Yeah. I hate to call it advertisement because that implies that somebody's making a profit somewhere and that we actually want to sell these. I just wanted them to exist and go out in the world. And because of that, now I'm having to deal with packaging and postage and stuff like that. And it's ridiculously expensive and a pain in the butt. And there's like no profit margin. And we're doing it for art. The Turf Tranny Alliance is art.
And you're quite busy with this because there's literally tens of thousands of these buttons going out every day. Isn't that right?
I think there's been 10. I think 10 have gone out. No, more than 10,000 badges, but I think 10, they've gone to 10 different locations. At least 10 different locations in the U.S. These toxic Turf Tranny Alliance badges are forcing women, they're forcing vulnerable women to enable perverted autogynephiles. Mm. It's force teaming and no turfs are safe.
So these 10 buttons are creating a condition where there's forced teaming happening.
Yeah, there's more than 10 badges. There's 10 addresses to which they went. Sometimes two or three or even four went to the same address.
What is forced teaming?
Forced teaming, it makes sense when I hear about it in relation to the former gay lesbian movement, that it was the gay rights movement. It was then the gay lesbian movement. Then it was the gay lesbian bisexual. And then I guess lesbian gay bisexual movements, all fine, all cool. And then the T was added. And when the T was added to the LGB, that was forced teaming. It was the forcing in of a group that really, you know, that another group really did not choose and didn't really have any reason to be sharing a group with, to be on the same team with. They had different interests, but somebody or people in the organizing capacity made some decisions and added the T to the LGB. And then the T was just there. Like all these LGB people were like, okay, and the T. And then the Q was added and the pluses were added and various other letters get added. And LGB people are like, what? Like, I'm not on this team. What's happening? This was supposed to be my team. And now there's all these groups, all these disparate groups that have nothing to do with me on this team and on my team. That is what I think of as forced teaming.
So one of the things that I take away from that is that when you're part of maybe a community, or maybe community is not the right word, but you're part of a demographic, you've got some traits that make you similar to other people that you might not know. And you don't necessarily elect a ruling body for your group. You don't have representatives that you appoint or support. But that these people sometimes do come together or do emerge in the media, and they claim to represent a larger constituency, and that they leverage that power somehow in order to combine different constituencies that maybe don't have a lot of commonalities.
That sounds right. Yeah. It would be like, all right. So I guess we have TERF, which is a slur. And then the non-slur is gender critical radical feminist or just gender critical?
For radical feminist?
Or yeah, I guess we have radical feminist, and we have gender critical radical feminist, and we have gender critical, and we have TERF, which is a slur. So actually the people, it's hard when I say that some people, and it's a tiny minority, this is like exactly like what happened on the trans activist side, or any scapegoating or witch hunting, tiny little minority that's very, very loud. And I don't know how to classify the tiny minority of people who, I guess, identify as TERFs, because if it's the TERF Tranny Alliance, their complaint is that the existence of the TERF Tranny Alliance forces TERFs to team with trannies. And I guess it's poisoning the word TERF, which is a slur, and making the slur impure. But I assume they identify as radical feminists at the very least.
I don't think they do.
Now, what do they identify as? Like, what team are they on that they could imagine forced teaming happening? What is this team?
I am not in a good position to describe it, Nina, because it's not entirely evident to me. Could I mansplain for just a second?
Please, you can mansplain, yes, and transplain at the same time.
Thank you. Let me go back to around 2014, when it had been about a year since the term gender critical had emerged. At that point, although there were some feminists who were starting to use the word for a descriptor for a gender critical feminism, it was at that time in 2014 a lot more common for women who were gender critical to just be radical feminists. And they would say that radical feminism is a gender critical analysis. And there were discussions at that point about how the term gender critical itself was threatening to create splits in the feminist community, because there already was an analysis. It was the radical feminist analysis. And the term gender critical was redundant on one hand, because radical feminism is gender critical, and it's splitting on the other. And if you want to have a strong radical feminist community, you can't do it under separate labels that mean essentially the same thing.
That makes sense.
However, I think what has happened subsequently is that because radical feminism is radical, it is a complex system of thinking. There's a lot of texts behind it. There are a lot of philosophies behind it. Excuse me. I think that gender critical is very simple. So gender critical is pretty simple. It is that you recognize that sex is real, that it is material, and that it's immutable, and that when it comes to policy or law, that gender identity should not supplant sex. And that's about all that gender critical was meant to be at the time that it started picking up its usage. And so that if you believed those ideas and you were a feminist who was not a radical feminist, but you also did not want to be lumped into liberal or third wave feminism, if you were that person, you might prefer to describe yourself as a gender critical feminist rather than a radical feminist.
Well, all I know is that the subreddit was called Gender Critical Radical Feminism. Remember the old Gender Critical Radical Feminism subreddit?
I do. It was just called /r/gendercritical.
It was. That was the heading or whatever, but it was gender critical radical feminism. I think, I don't know, maybe that's just what I wanted it to be.
We won't be able to know anymore.
I know, it's gone.
The transgender moderators on Reddit banished it.
That's right. Well, no matter what formal words they use to identify themselves, these people are women. I assume they're all women. I take their word for it. Seem very protective of the word TERF, and they don't want the likes of me selling out the precious, precious word TERF, which is a slur, to trannies, which is also a slur.
Are you sure they're all women? We haven't taken their genotypes.
I don't really know. I do notice, though, that it's a lot easier. Well, not always, but I think it's easier to lie a whole lot about people on the internet if you're not using your real name. And I've been very impressed by how quickly lies fly around. And it's very creative. I'm impressed with people's it's like a super organism creativity, you know, like the creativity of an entire group rather than an individual.
Yeah, there are people who are willing to lie using their real names, though. So I have to give some people credit for owning the bullshit that they say.
Yes. Yes, they do. Anyway, it's an impressive shit show. And the things that have been said about me and you are very impressive. I learned that not only are you an autogynephilic pervert, but also that you groomed me and that this podcast and the TERF Tranny Alliance and pretty much, well, I guess everything that I do is because a powerful, perverted man, I'd say older man, but you're younger, has groomed me.
Is this an indicator that the photos of me licking the dander off your hair finally got out?
Now, that was my cat. There's been some confusion between actual pets and pet trans, which is a joke. Pet trans is a joke. Nonetheless, my pet trans went off leash, went into the guest room where my sister was staying, and peed all over my sister's clothes and the quilt. No, I'm sorry. That was my cat. That was my cat that did that.
That's right.
My cat did that at exactly the same time. At exactly the same time, my pet trans went off leash and tweeted on Twitter that he sometimes uses women's public toilets.
More often than not.
Right. We need to talk about bathrooms. We need to talk about what actually happens in actual real bathrooms. And I did not like it. I did not like it that you made that confession, because I would like there to be a hard and fast rule that no men enter women's toilets ever. I wish that we could have such a rule. Granted, bathrooms are a distraction from much more serious issues like prisons, domestic violence shelters, medical situations, certainly awards. Sports aren't really serious, but they're...
Well, they're not serious to you.
Right, they're not serious to me. I mean, they're not like life... Well, actually, they aren't. Contact sports are life-threatening. But I feel like domestic violence... I think the thing that outrages me the most about men going into women's spaces is when they go into a domestic violence shelter or some situation where women are recovering from some trauma, like a therapy group. I can't even imagine how furious and betrayed and confused I would be if I like really needed help from other women and there was a man there pretending to be a woman and then there were women, you know, accepting that. That would just make me sick. Now, women's toilets have of late regularly been used as validation stations for autogynephilic men. It's been an intentional confrontation, intentional boundary pushing, really creepy men are using women's toilets to get off. I wish.
And they're politicizing it too.
Yes. And they're politicizing it. And that's disgusting. And I hate it. And they're practically the face of the trans rights movement. They've sort of made themselves the loudest of the trans rights movement. So yeah, I very much associate them with the so-called trans rights movement. And they are working hard, or they and their allies have worked hard to erode women's boundaries on all levels, including the level of bathrooms. I'm furious that when people decide they want an all-gender bathroom, they make it the women's room. Like, there's still a men's room, and somehow the women's room is the all-gender space. So I do not want to trivialize bathrooms. They are, and for those of you who are not in the United States, we mean toilets, loos, water closets, places where you excrete. I feel very strongly about that. And so when you tweeted that you have used and sometimes use women's toilets in public, that was like, oh my God, this is way too nuanced for social media. I knew that it was the case because last year, just about a year ago, we were at Golden Harbor enjoying our first post-vaccination delicious Chinese food together. And I went to the bathroom and you were washing your hands in the women's bathroom. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And it made sense because to most people, you look like a woman. So that if your goal is to cause as little disruption as possible in a public space, it's like, yes, this makes sense. Just as I have always done since the good old days when passing trannies, most of whom I didn't know were trannies. Like, honestly, if I didn't know you personally, you would not have, you know, you passed sufficiently so that no flags would have been raised for me. Possibly flags could be raised for the super sensitive, you know, no, there is no such thing as a passing tranny. I can tell all the time. But
right, which is how natal women end up being harassed in bathrooms.
Yes. But anyway, I would not have caught you out if I didn't know you. But I do know you. And so I did know that my male friend was in the bathroom. And there was this moment of like, oh, no, like, what do we do? And I thought about it. And I thought, like, yeah, you know, in this particular location where we are, that choice does actually make sense in terms of creating, in terms of minimizing potential disruption. So that's my story. And now it's out. And I have not wanted to talk about it. I've not wanted to talk about the reality of it, of trannies in bathrooms. I would much prefer to talk about the ideology of trannies in bathrooms, which is very clear. No men in women's bathrooms ever under any circumstances. Fuck off. The reality, I wish it were that simple.
I wish it were too, Nina, except that I only started using women's bathrooms at the time where when I was going into the men's bathrooms, men would see me and they would tell me that I needed to get out of the bathroom.
Because you were in the wrong bathroom.
They weren't mean.
Right. They weren't attacking you.
They weren't
threatening.
They weren't violent.
Yeah.
They weren't. But I also did not want to have the conversation with a stranger, a male stranger in the bathroom to explain why I was entitled to be in there. Like, I don't want to say to a strange man in a bar, particularly, or a restaurant, oh, I'm a guy just like you are. I'm just here to pee, because that is possibly going to lead to a more involved confrontation. It might not, but I would bet that if that happened, that probably 9 out of 10 times it would be settled just fine.
Yes.
But if I'm there, particularly if I'm with a group of friends, a group of people that I know, I'm not really keen to go out and start a confrontation. Now, I have a very powerful bladder. It is in the top 1%. It is in the Mensa social club of bladders. So I am able to retain urine for hours at a time without any discomfort. And that's maybe a muscle that I've built up through the course of the last 30 years just to try to avoid needing to use facilities in public. I don't know if that's the case. It might be a natural gift.
It's a natural gift because most people that try to hold it for a long time end up developing urinary tract infections and get weaker bladders. At least.
Well, probably when I'm in my 60s, I'll probably be paying for it then.
No, I don't think it works that way. I think you're blessed with a really strong bladder. That's good. Anyway, the issue, when I thought about you and your reasons for doing it and the reasons to avoid confrontation, so I'm going to confront you about confrontation, and I was discussing this with you and Levi online yesterday. So there's a price paid for confrontation and disruption. There's the price paid to by your community, right? Like, you don't want a confrontation because you don't want to be upsetting and inconveniencing the men in the men's room, right? A confrontation would mean that they would have to pay attention, stop what they're doing, deal with this stuff, and all they want to do is go to the bathroom. And they feel uncomfortable if what looks like a woman is in their bathroom. And if they say, oh, you're in the wrong bathroom, it would be easier for them, for everyone, if you just left and went to the women's room where you appear like you belong. That's one reason. Another reason to avoid confrontation is that you don't want to deal with confrontation.
Yes, I hate confrontation.
Yes, most of us hate confrontation. So wearing my turf pants here, I just want to say that there is confrontation in women's rooms. I think there's probably more confrontation in and around women's rooms than men's rooms. So there is a part of me that thinks, well, why the fuck don't the men deal with some of this confrontation? Like, all the confrontation is falling on us. And of course I know you don't want to confront people. And of course, or men, I should say men, because this is a men's thing. Of course I know you don't want to confront men. Of course I know men don't want to be confronted. And
that's not even it.
No? What? What's it?
I mean, that might be a small part of it. But the part that I really want to avoid is becoming a public spectacle by having, so for example, I'll talk about it at work. When I use the restrooms at work, I go to a floor that is the public floor that has low traffic so that there's a less chance that I'll be in the space of one of my day-to-day coworkers, so that, you know, out of consideration for that. I don't want the manager or owner of the venue to have to come and try to sort something out. I don't want a crowd of people to come around as there's confusion or conflict about what's happening. And I don't want there to be like follow-up rumors or stares or anything because a fracas started.
And again, there's two sides of that. There's the disruption to everybody there, including the owner, and you're concerned about their welfare. And there's the concern about your own welfare, like people staring at you because you have created this disruption.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll give you another example. I was traveling through an airport and I thought, nobody here knows me at all. If I went to use the men's room, nobody would talk about it behind my back. I'm just passing through. And then I thought, but somebody might go talk to security because they're seeing something strange and security might have to come intervene. And if they do, my ID does not have an M on it, it has an F on it. And then that's going to be even more complicated and layered to have to sort out. And I have to go catch my connecting flight.
Yes.
So again, like, what do I do to create the least amount of social friction.
Yes. Meanwhile, these trans activists who are autogynephilic and getting off using women's rooms as validation stations, they are the opposite. They like creating confrontation. They like it when more and more people have to pay attention. They like creating whole movements around this. And if somebody says no to them, then they'll have public protests and witch hunts and laws changed to eradicate women's boundaries in their spaces. Now, wearing my turf pants, my extreme turf pants, I would say turf pants me is saying to me that just said that, that that means I believe in true trans, that the true tranny can use the women's room because the true tranny passes as a woman. Plus the true tranny, I wasn't even thinking of this before, the true tranny has had his IDs changed. And so even his IDs say F on them instead of M. Hence a true tranny. And in reality, I would really like confrontations to be minimized. I don't like drama. I don't like confrontations. They're happening anyway. And you do hear my point about the battleground being the women's room.
Oh, yeah.
And me wanting in some way to move that to the men's room.
And there might be people listening who, when I'm talking about the confrontations I'm trying to avoid, would say, that's not a me problem, that's a you problem.
It is a you problem. You should never pee.
I don't think that's what they would mean, that it's a me problem.
Yeah. And then when I say that, when that came out of my mouth, and I'm like, my God, that sounds so close to that stupid, they just want to pee. It's like, no, that's not what this is about. And you know what, extremists? I freaking hate that you are turning me into a moderate. I hate it. I've never been a moderate before. This does not jibe with my ideas about myself. And here I am becoming a radical moderate because of extremism. But yes, even transsexuals have to pee. I'm sorry. God, I feel like an ass.
I'm sorry that I have a bladder. Like, you know, actually, now that I think about it, I could still have a bladder and solve this issue. I would just need one little surgery, which would be to have some sort of external bladder connected to my body. and then I could just discreetly empty it, like, outside of the... Where the smokers go probably is where it would be good, because it already smells bad over there.
Well, you know, there's another aspect of this, which is that some extremists at least claim that you would be acceptable if you got a mastectomy and took exogenous testosterone. Then you would pass as a man, and so you could use the men's room without confrontation in accordance with your sex. And that is where I go, this is cruel. It is cruel to demand or even encourage somebody to have unnecessary surgeries. That is cruel, extremists.
Well, they could say that I could wear a binder. I hate that I'm such a devil's advocate that I'm like, no, Nina, let's figure out some good ways that we can...
Right, a binder...
Force me to... Right.
Binder and a packer.
And a packer, because I want when I walk in that room, I want to make sure that if anybody's checking out my package, that it looks like I belong in that room.
Yes, and then you'd be an AMAB bio trans boy. You'd be circumgender.
That's what I'm shooting for. Circumgender, yes. When I was 18, whenever it was that I started HRT at 18, had genital amputation and reconstruction surgery when I was 19. And that was a long time ago. That was almost 30 years ago. And there's not really an undo button. So it's pretty interesting. I normally don't feel like I'm necessarily stigmatized for having done that. I feel like generally there's a lot of sympathy. And I will say, there has been... even though there's been some frustrated opinions delivered my way. There has been quite a lot of support too, which I greatly appreciate. But I'm really interested in the way that I've been stigmatized by certain people. There's a particularly vocal person who has started referring to me as the mentally ill dickless man.
Where? I haven't seen this.
This was one of our previous guests.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Enough said.
I feel like if you have even a whit of sympathy for somebody, or if you acknowledge any of their humanity, that one of the things that you would probably not do is continue to stigmatize somebody for a decision that they made, for a cosmetic surgery that they had when they were 19, by always describing them in terms of that choice at that age.
I just call you a tranny.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine if somebody wants to call me a mentally ill dickless man also. I was raised at a time where there was the saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words don't hurt me. And although I didn't actually figure that out in full until I was a little older into my adult years, like I kind of don't give a shit what somebody says about that. I am a little, there is one part about it that does bother me though, which is that there are young people who have been supported in their transition since they were in their early teens, and they are young males. We saw some detransitioners. There was the detransition event that happened last week, and we saw two young men who transitioned when they were in their teens. And if language like that starts to really become prevalent in the gender critical community, where you're referring to people who transition as dickless men, that's sort of hateful. Now, I don't feel like I'm a victim of a hate crime or anything, but I do think that that's hateful language. And I don't think that it's a very good thing for the gender critical circle in general to develop that sort of tolerance for that sort of language. Because one of the things that we've seen from the trans community is that the trans people who call women TERFs and try to drive them out of their jobs and try to drive them out of civic society, like they're really hateful, terrible people. And I guess because they're winning, they don't give a shit about that. But they're not going to be winning forever. But I don't think that I would really want to be very closely affiliated with a group that had a tolerance for just dehumanizing people, especially dehumanizing people who, at a vulnerable time in their lives, made some decisions that cannot be undone.
Well, the particular people who are, particular, I assume, women who are creating the most shit here, they're also happy to dehumanize me. I'm a sister, you know, like that's one of the ironic things about extreme radical feminists, if that's what they are, or how they identify. It seems to me that if you're a feminist, that you don't target a woman. You don't like, yeah.
I'm so sorry, Nina. Could I interrupt for just a second? You said extreme radical feminists. Do you mind if I address that?
Please.
For just a second?
I don't know what to call them.
Because I know that there are some extreme radical feminists who are absolute stand-up, amazing women. So I would rather use this phrase that we saw, we'll link the blog post, but they're ideological totalists.
Thank you. Thank you. The ideological totalists. You know, there's a difference between being a feminist and identifying as a feminist. I'm pretty sure these ideological totalists identify as feminists and claim that their ideological totalism is in the service of feminism. But when your feminism is a project of lying about and attacking another woman, another feminist, I really question, is that feminism? Now, I know women have been doing this forever. I know particularly women who identify as feminists have been doing this forever. And you know what? Feminist is a goddamn identity. It's not a material reality. Anyone can call themselves a feminist. The word feminist is pretty useless. I have thought for the last several years that radical feminist means something, that just feminist without a qualifier is pretty meaningless, but radical feminist is a particular type of analysis. And I continue to think that, but a radical feminist, like radical feminism is something, it's a type of analysis, but a radical feminist, that's an identity. Any identity can become an ideology, and any ideology can become totalist. And yeah, these ideological totalists are going after women, which, by the way, is exactly what the trans activists who identified as feminists did to me. When I first got canceled, in my town, it was a screening of my film at a stupid local cafe, a small one that invited me. And the person who led the charge against me was the interim chair of the Gender and Women's Studies Department at the University of Illinois, who declared me a TERF and who demanded a boycott if they showed my movie. That's how it started. And of course, I was stunned. How could the chair of the Gender and Women's Studies Department, which I thought had something to do with feminism, lead an attack on a local woman feminist artist? But that's what they did. And I thought, all right, that sure as hell ain't feminism. It breaks my heart that this shit is coming from supposedly my side, but it doesn't surprise me because I could see it coming. I knew it was going to happen. And now it's happening. Maybe I didn't think it would happen quite this soon.
Last year, you had sent me an email that one of your fans had sent to you. And in that email, there was this very warm appeal. I'm such a fan of yours, Nina. And that's why it hurts me so much to hear you say that trans women are not women. And I saw this week that somebody used the exact same format to address you. Nina, I'm such a huge fan of your work. And that's why it's so disappointing that you support your trans friend.
Yes, it is ironic that I have been canceled as a transphobe and now I am being denounced and blocked by really a small group of women. Really, it's small. It's not comparable. Anyway, but yes, it's ironic that I am simultaneously still denounced as a transphobe and then also denounced for not being transphobic enough.
You know, I can relate to that, actually.
I'm sure you can.
Because I also get denounced for not being an ideological totalist on the trans issues because I have listened to women over the years, and I understand where they're coming from. I've heard where they're coming from. In many cases, I agree with what they're asking for, and I support it in many cases. Not wholly. I am not perfect. But I get called a transphobe all the time, even though I'm a transsexual. And now, I'm not even supposed to use the word transsexual because it's impossible to change sex, which I know that it's impossible. I'm just using that word to describe a series of experiences that I had over the course of my life.
Well, I think you're using that word because that's the popular understanding. You use words that people understand.
Right. So I can't make anybody happy.
Well, you can't.
Except for I make our 27 listeners happy.
Yeah, and the TERF Tranny Alliance, which is full of TERFs and trannies. Probably has more TERFs than trannies. That would be my guess.
There's a number of trannies, though. Both male trannies and female trannies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one thing that happened with the person that was going bananas on Twitter is she was not replying to any of my responses about female trannies. There are real female trannies, and trans men are our sisters. I insist, because damn it, when I got into turfing in 2017, that was a line that was used frequently on the gender critical subreddit. I found it challenging and I liked it. And of course, a lot of so-called trans men, trans-identified women, hate being called anybody's sisters. But I have found that there are trannies, there are female trannies who are okay with it and who want to be friends and are capable of being friends with a TERF who thinks of them as their sisters.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. And apparently such female trannies are loathed by the ideological totalists.
Yes, because they are mutilating their bodies. They have mutilated their bodies, and now they are role models for mutilation. That's why they're hated.
Yeah, none of them are mutilating their bodies now. I mean, you mutilate your body, and you can't undo it. All you can do is mutilate it more.
That's true. Now, I thought that removing my dick and balls would probably make women happy, but that's not actually how it worked.
Only if you take exogenous testosterone and get a mastectomy.
Right.
I think they'll let you forgo the phalloplasty. Maybe I'm wrong, though, because the goalposts keep moving. You might have to do that, too.
Well, I know that even if I did the other parts, then the other thing that I would have to do is change my name back. The one that I've used for 3/5 of my life now. There would be a demand that I go back to what my mother called me when I was born.
Yeah, you could take another masculine name. How about Aiden? How about Aiden? You need to change your name to Aiden.
Aiden. I was thinking Braden.
Aiden or Braden. Put on that binder, wear that packer, and change your name. I like the idea of you making gay men really uncomfortable in the men's room because they think that you're a trans-identified woman.
Yeah, maybe. You know what? I wonder if testosterone would deepen my voice.
Yeah, I don't recommend doing that. And you can if you want. Anybody can take whatever dangerous drugs they want.
You know, I was thinking about this because we've talked about this before, but I don't know why, but this only very recently struck me, Nina, that if I took testosterone, it might cause me to grow chest hair.
Yeah, it might. It would probably cause me to grow chest hair if I took testosterone.
Ugh.
Well, yeah. But, you know.
It'd just be really weird to have. It would be weird to have, like, hairy breasts, though.
You're a man. Well, you'd get a mastectomy, so that dysphoria would be eased. Your hairy breast dysphoria.
Oh, God.
What you could do is get a binder. I don't know why they don't have these. A binder with chest hair on it. Why is no one selling that? Maybe they are. But hey, if no one's selling
that... They are, Nina. They're selling it on Etsy for four-year-olds.
Yeah. Anyway, we can just make you wear a binder with chest hair.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
We should do things that increase dysphoria so that cis people can experience dysphoria.
Which they never, ever do.
We never do. But I think that cis, and by the way, I hope everyone can hear the air quotes around, or scare quotes really, around cis. Cis women should all have to wear hairy chest binders and packers for at least a while to experience that dysphoria. And then we'll have, you know, empathy. We'll have empathy because we're very unempathetic and hateful.
And if men want to experience dysphoria, they can try staying quiet in meetings.
That is too much to ask of anybody. Oh, you know, I was really happy today to meet a young local TERF, a young TERF in her 20s who lives here. And I got to hear about my own legendariness, that all these people are being called TERFs because they had any association with me whatsoever. There are people in this town who are called TERFs, Corinna, because they actually came to our talk at the library. Anyone that came to our talk at the library was a TERF.
Really?
There are people that are called TERFs because they went to the movie at the Virginia Theater that I made. Merely attending that movie makes you a TERF, and they've been branded forever. And I am a legend in this town. And I have to say, after hearing this young TERF who was so turfy, who didn't get turfed by me. She got turfed completely on her own. On this day, I feel honored to be the village turf. It is a privilege to be a village turf in this fucked up little town. And on Twitter, I was bestowed the honor of being a Rowling level turf, or Rowling. I am a Rowling level turf.
I think you had it right the first time.
Is it Rowling or Rowling?
I think it's Rowling.
Rowling? It's like, I would think it'd be like Rowling, like growling.
Mm-hmm.
Or Rowling, like rolling. Anyway, however you pronounce it, I am a Rowling level turf, which is the greatest honor. I am on the same level as J.K. Rowling.
I'm looking forward to burning your books, actually. In your honor. In your honor.
Yeah, yeah. This was not said to me by a panderer either. This was said by somebody who was outraged about me.
Was it a trans activist or was it a gender critical person?
It was a trans ally.
It was a trans ally.
Yeah. No, a gender critical person. It would be an honor if a GC person called you a Rowling level turf, which is why I've been getting all this congratulating on Twitter since I shared that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, people are very happy for me.
Has the queen herself daubed your shoulder?
No, I'm still not followed by the queen herself, but nonetheless, it is a very happy day because I am a legend in my own town and I am a Rowling level turf internationally. So I am filled with joy.
Congratulations, Nina. I am so happy for you.
Thank you. if I listen to this later, I'd be like, you sound like maybe you got like a manic depressive mood swing issue or something. I'm going to read the first names of our generous supporters here on Anchor FM. Thank you, Jennifer, Levi, Sally, Norman S., Ohana, or possibly Oksana. Well, Corinna, there's someone named Corinna here.
Different Corinna.
Different Corinna. Sarah, Amy, LF, Brenda, Jackie, Candace. We appreciate
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, we really appreciate your support. And the next visit to Golden Harbor will include Numoil Tofu and a man in the women's bathroom.
I don't think it's, certainly the last part, but I don't think it's going to be Chinese food this time.
Oh, is it going to be Thai?
I think it's going to be Ethiopian food the next time we have a meal together.
Oh my gosh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Looking forward to it. I hope you edit that bit out because really the bathroom thing, too soon. Too soon to joke about that. It's freaking terrifying. Nuance is terrifying. We can't live with it. We just can't have nuance.
I'll remove it so that we don't offend anybody who might take it as an orchestrated militaristic assault on the rights of all women.
Yeah, and it feels like it. It really does feel like there's that happening. So
there is. Let's go fight the people who are doing that.
I know, but yeah, it's just, oh God. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Turfs and Trannies.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to Heterodorks. You can support our podcast by visiting anchor.fm/heterodorks or by directly supporting Nina Paley on Patreon at patreon.com/Nina Paley.